First Corinthians 12 verse 31. I want to talk on the role of desire in a Holy Ghost meeting. That's the title I can give it. I don't know what else. Something just get so complicated. You don't know what title to give it, so you just go. Rule of desire. Or covet earnestly the best gift. Alright, 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Covet earnestly the best gift. And yet, show I unto you a more excellent way. Then he speaks on love. He says, love is patient, love is kind. Then in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Again, the word gifts there is italicized. When you see a word italicized like that, it means it was not there in the original, but it flows. Doesn't mean it's wrong, just that it's not there in the original Greek as when it was written. So it's called desire spirituals, which is the things of the spirit. In verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14. For he that speaks in tongue, the word unknown is also not there. Why is it called unknown tongue? It's called unknown tongue because it bypasses your brain. Your mind, it's not known to your mind. It's not known to any mind. So it's called unknown. But it's not unknown because you're talking to God. All right? We've taught that before. He that speaks in tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands tongues. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But if you look at the two verses we just read now, 1 Corinthians 12, 31 and 1 Corinthians 14, 1, there are two words you're going to see that Paul uses intentionally. He calls one covet. Covet. Have you ever coveted something before? Covet means to desire strongly. You know, if you're a guy, when you were younger, you coveted games. Say, except maybe Boshola, you know, Damola, those ones that are not guys. Amen. They don't watch football. How can you as a man not watch football? Even his highlights, like Prophet. He doesn't watch the match. He watches highlights. Then he comes to me and starts saying, Arsenal, Arsenal. Well, we thank God we are back. Amen. Amen. All right, let's talk about Paul and gifts. So you covet something. Covet means to desire strongly. Of almost tending towards greed. It's at the borderline of greed. But it's not greed. He uses the word covet. Then in chapter 14 verse 1, he says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. So it appears like there's a role our desire plays in how God can work. It appears that I can by myself shut God out of my life in a meeting. It appears like there are things that God would not be able to do unless I desire it. And we're going to see that much later. You know, in John chapter 20, John 20, I want us to have enough time this morning to desire. John chapter 20, or 20, either, verse 19. Then the same evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he said so, and when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Again, even after he showed them his hands and his side, there was someone who was absent in the meeting. Thomas. And when he came, he said, nah, you've got to show me. Everyone has seen it. You can't blame me. Sometimes you don't blame Thomas. The others also did not believe him until they saw it. Just that they didn't talk. Alright. So he showed them his hands and his side, verse 20. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Can we verse 22 together? And when he had said this, he breathed to them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Receive you the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. In the original, it's, the word he said caused them to come alive. What he said caused them to come alive. He breathed on them and he said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. So, the 11 were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Or let's say the 10, since Thomas was not there. And that's why you don't miss meetings. Or you don't come late. Imagine coming late and Jesus already said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Then you enter 10 minutes later. That's not you. Alright, so, he said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now, hold that one place. He already told them, receive the Holy Ghost. Then in Luke 24, so they already received the Holy Ghost, but in Luke 24, he said something vital. Luke chapter 24. That's 46. Like I always say, when you come to church, expect to open the Bible. We should open the Bible so much. So much you say, yeah, I went to church. Amen? Luke 24 verse 46. And he said unto them, thus is written, behold, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations. Beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, very important now. Look at your Bibles. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. They already received the Holy Ghost. When he rose from the dead and he showed himself to them, he already told them, receive you the Holy Ghost. So they already had an indwelling of the Spirit. They were born again. Now he's telling them, you're born again, but stay somewhere. You are going to tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. And so it appears that there is a chasm or a space between the indwelling of the Spirit, where I know I am born again, I have confessed the Lord Jesus. We know that at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in a man, right? He is the seal of salvation, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, he is that seal. And because we are born of God, we have the Holy Ghost in us, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Again, so, I already have the Holy Ghost, right? They already have the Holy Ghost. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Then he says, one more thing. Say one more thing. He says, one more thing. Tarry you in the city of Jerusalem. Then in Acts 1, where you have Luke's account, Luke's second account as it were. Luke wrote the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, they are just received the Holy Ghost, the 10 of them, but it says, there's another work I will do in you. And for me to be able to do that, you have to stay in Jerusalem. Acts 1. The former traitors have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And I've told you every time you see that in the Bible, you pay attention to do and to teach. Because we live in a generation where there's a culture of teaching and not doing. We have people who say things. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a channel. Everybody's got an handle, right? Whether it's a TikTok one or a TikTok one or a YouTube one. Everybody has something to say. And if you're not careful, you are going to listen to people who teach what they don't do. Or who teach what they can't do. But biblical teaching is to teach and to do. The biblical way is to do what you say. In John 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He said, I know you are a teacher from heaven. Because no one can do these miracles. Can you see that? I know you are a teacher. You teach. Rabbi. You are a teacher. But no one can do. So, the Bible way is to teach what you do. You see someone at 21 years old, 22 years old, writing how to navigate life. You can't write that at 22. You can't write that at 35. Which life have you seen that you say you want to how to navigate life? You can't write that at 55. the day you clock 56, something just happened. You say, hey, it's not part of the book. Volume 2 coming. You've not seen it. You see, couple just got married last year. Advice to young couples. That's the title of your podcast. Advice to young couples. What are you? Advice to young couples. You got married last year. Book. And the books are always large. Thanks to AI. You know, with ChatGPT now, you can even publish 95 books a year. It just has to be nonsense right there. Amen. See? My counsel to young couples, what I have seen in marriage. Now, you are teaching what you have not done. Jesus began to do and to teach. That must be the model we follow. When you teach holiness, you live it. When you teach being filled with the Spirit, you do it. It's easy to teach someone. Say, pray always. But are you praying? You discipling someone. You have to ensure that you stay at the cutting edge of God's power. You are speaking in tongues. Are you doing it? That's the question. We are in a generation where people just say it. They don't do it. I'm born of God. So I do what I say. I'm born of God. So I do what I say. All right, good. So Luke begins to give his account of all Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, having been seen of them 40 days. So he taught them for 40 days. Don't forget, by the time they will gather, it was Pentecost, which is 50 days. Penti is 50. Alright, so Pentecost is 50 days. He taught them for 40 days. That's why I always tell you that they gathered and they stayed at that upper room for 10 days. He told them to gather, to stay. He told 500 people. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, he told 500 people to wait for him. Wait at Jerusalem. 500 people, then 120 showed up. Looks like a normal prayer meeting. Amen. Amen. You guys are not pastors. That's a pastoral joke. That's a perfect church. Amen. That's what you see. 500 people in service, prayer meeting, 120. You're part of the 120, yeah? Huh? You love to pray. No, we used to say that thing. Where? Those are the back of us saying this. So I love to pray. God strengthens me to pray. God strengthens me to pray. I pray. I don't turn out bad. See, I don't turn out bad this loud. I pray, but I don't turn out badly. I don't turn out badly. I pray. Why? They are different decibels. I pray, so the devil will not use me. I pray. Uh-huh. Amen. They go together. Not the devil will not use me. The devil will not use me. Jesus told Peter that the Satan desires to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you. The only cure is prayer. If you don't learn to pray, okay, you know the rest. Alright, we're in verse 1. Verse 3, eh? Verse 4 now, Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So we are seeing the same instruction. Receive you the Holy Ghost, we already received the Holy Ghost, then he says, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith it, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from now. No. So, receive you the Holy Ghost. Then it says, but come. Wait. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That means we are going to see an immersion. The word baptism means to immerse. And that's why you see it physically represented by dipping one in water. It means to immerse. I was baptized with water twice, which is good. If you want to be, fine. Is here prerequisite for salvation? No. To be saved, you've got to believe the gospel. You have to believe in Jesus. That's it. You baptism by water? It's okay. Out twice. Balloon Dior twice. Baptism Dior. Alright, so it says you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Interesting. You'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it shows that there's an activity for you to eat. John baptized with water. But wait, I know you have received it, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Interesting. Verse 6. When therefore they were come together, they asked of him, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Then he said, that's not for you. But to know the times and the seasons, which the Father has put in his power, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He already told them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Then he says, there's something you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Interesting. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. And when he had said these things, while they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. The words, tarry, stay, wait, they look like stagnant words. But how many of you agree with me that those were not stagnant words? Anyone? He told them, wait. But it was not passive. Because in the 10 days, what were they doing? Is this mic working? In the 10 days, what were they doing? They were praying. So between when he told them, wait at Jerusalem, and when we saw it in Acts 2, where they now spoke with other tongues, 10 days, Jesus said, stay, wait. But they were doing something. And that's the way God works. What God has promised you, and where you are, the distance between is desire. The distance between is what are you going to do? There's this show I watch. It's for startups and founders and all of that. And I was showing Brother David the other day. I said, one of the most important questions they ask. So, a founder goes to them and say, I want money, right? You say, I want $30,000 US, or I want $100,000 US. And then someone comes to you and say, I'm going to give you 80, and I want more percentage of your company. And I've watched it over and over again. And I've watched hundreds of that show. Because it helps you also in your business. And I recall that there's a constant question they ask. So after giving you their own option, they ask you, so what are you going to do? That question appears simple. Right? Simple, what are you going to do? But it's a question that can change everything. So, I want 50,000. And you say, I'm going to give you 5,000, but I even want more percentage. I want more share of your company than you want to give me for 5,000. So what are you going to do? At that moment, that individual has to think. Say, okay, should I not? That's exactly the distance between being filled with the Spirit or receiving the Holy Ghost at salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do? Stay in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. Don't forget, we're looking at covet earnestly the best gifts. I don't change that. So, they waited. They prayed. Chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2. You learning something? No, Paul told Timothy, he said, wage a good warfare with the prophecies that have gone ahead of you. So that you can get to where God wants you to be. So, this is where you are. This is where God wants you to be. He says, between them, you are going to wage a good warfare. But you know what we do most times? And one of the greatest mistakes believers make is to think that God is going to bring it to us. So we go, God has promised me this now. I'll just wait. No, that wait, there's a doing in the waiting. Paul says, you will wage a good warfare. It's not going to come to you. You know, there are times you're hungry and you just stay in the kitchen. Or you stay in the kitchen. In the living room. Right? And then you're so hungry. But you're not hungry. If you're that hungry, you will stand up from the couch, put up the TV, go into the kitchen and make yourself some food. If someone comes and say, are you hungry? Should I fix you something? Say, yes, I'm very hungry. Fix me something. And the real thought is you are not hungry. And that's the way we act as Christians sometimes. We sit down and say, oh Lord, we are hungry. And you see that. And we expect that God's promise is going to come. No. God stays where he wants you to be. You are there. And he gives you all the prophecies, all the words, all the promises. Someone leans and shares a word with you. During worship, you get a conviction. He's giving you everything you need for the in-betweens. It's left to you. What are you going to do? And so, receive you the Holy Ghost. Then he says, you've got to wait. That's not the end. That's not the end. That's not the end. Just like that famous donkey that Jesus rode. They found a cult and they took him to Jesus. That's not the end. The end goal is that you are dressed up to carry the king. That's the end goal. Oh, you have found me. Jesus has found me. Oh, that's good. No. You've got to be dressed up. After that, he's got to ride you into the city. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 2, that's where we are now. I perceive this is a teaching we will listen to for years to come. Looks like it. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Again, for how many days now? 50 minus 40. I didn't say 10. I'm just saying, Pentecost 50, he taught them for 40 days after the resurrection. How many days? 50 minus 40. Amen. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. You know, so we saw it's not as sudden as it sounds, right? They were there for 10 days. There came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They could not do this before, now they can. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so tongues is one of the ways, or one of the gifts of the Spirit. Again, that word gifts of the Spirit is what we are going to look at a bit. We are looking at covet earnestly the best gifts, right? 1 Corinthians 12:31. Interesting. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of course, what happened was that people started mocking them and said, these ones are drunk. They were laughing at them. And people were confused. What's going on? What's happening? And I was telling someone, I said, sometimes the fruit of revival is confusion and mockery. Sometimes we think revival is quickly clean. When there's revival, everybody just going to say, ah, God is among you people. No. Sometimes what you get from revival is mockery. Confusion, mockery, opposition can be the fruit of God's work among us. Of course, not confusion among us, confusion from outside, from without. Are you with me this morning? So, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. See, I've got utterances. I thought we prayed this morning. I've got all trances. God talks through me. I've got all trances. This morning, I speak and I know and I function by the Spirit of God. I'm a vessel ready to bless others and also to be blessed. Amen. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where we are coming from. Covet earnestly the best gifts. You know, the background of this statement is Paul already in chapter 12 verse 1 said, concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. Then he taught them spiritual gifts. He already taught them everything. He taught them tongues, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Brother Egan at some point said, he does not believe it's 9, but he's going to speak with 9. He believes there are some. I'm not saying they are not 9. That he just believes the 9 did not fence what the Holy Ghost can do. They just reveal what he can do. And there are some other things that are consistent with what God's Spirit can do. I've seen someone, as much as you say, tongues is not human language, but I've seen someone who got filled with the Spirit and wrote in perfect Korean or whatever language he does not have any background, it's pure English, and he wrote it. He didn't even know that was what he was writing. Now, I'm not saying that's the gift of the Spirit. I'm not saying that's not the gift of the Spirit. I'm just saying we cannot box God up. He taught them all the gifts. In fact, he told them why the eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you. Why everybody has to come together and function in this gift. Then he tells them, hey, covet earnestly the best gift. It means that teaching you about the gift is not enough. Teaching you the gift does not make you have them. What gets a man to walk in the gifts of the Spirit is not just to teach it. He's got to covet it. So much teaching going on. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody has a channel. GHA Media. MRY Media. MRI Media. .org. Everybody's got one. So much teaching. What are we doing? What are you going to do? So, Paul teaches them, and he says, calm. Covet earnestly the best. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Learn something. So, the teaching does not impart the gift. Rather, it's to steer you to pursue it. It's to open up an understanding, so that you can now covet. So, in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you are, this was my first teaching as a pastor, ever. Now concerning spiritual gifts. He says, I will not have you ignorant. That is, I will not have you in the dark. I will ensure that you can see what I'm saying. Then verse 2 says, We know that you were Gentiles sometimes past, carried away by dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, please look at your Bibles, so that you can understand what we are saying. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And that no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations of the gifts, but the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man that has called Jesus Lord to profit. Can we read from verse 8 to 11 together now? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these works, that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will. As he what? So he mentions 9 gifts. Some of them, they say something. Tongues say something. Interpretation of tongues say something. They are called the utterance gifts. So the 9 gifts, we divide them into 3. The utterance gifts. They are the gifts that say. What did I say they do? They say. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. And prophecy. They are gifts by the Spirit of God that talk. Then we have some that they see and know. They are called revelation gifts. They see and know. The discerning of spirit. What is the discerning of spirit? The discerning of spirit is the gift of the Spirit that makes a man recognize spiritual events, spiritual places, spiritual persons. So for example, if I am in a vision, that's the discerning of spirit. Where I can say, oh, this is an angel. Or where I can say, I'm seeing something. I'm seeing a man. I recall I was in a meeting some years ago, and they saw a man in bondage and chains and everything. The man was wearing perfect suit. They saw him, very nice suit. Very, very. And the prophet was saying, yes, yes, yo. Many, many years ago, my mom took me there. And, you know, I said, how can this man be in chains? I was talking to myself. I was probably 11 or 12. And the man was there's some pastors who don't have time. He was saying Yoruba. Iru ahamo bori. Ahamo is different from bondage. Ahamo is a greater level. Amen. Ahamo is trapped. And he's saying the man is trapped. And he's seeing chains all around. And I was saying, nah. This is perfect gentleman. And the man said, he went on his and said, yeah, it's true. And he started saying some things. And the man said, don't say it in the microphone. Which is where I learned some of the things of the Spirit. Said, you don't talk in microphone. Even though I betrayed that after that. I said, no, people must know that gift of spirit is flowing. I'll give you mic. Say what's wrong with you. I was 16, 17. I said, say what's wrong with you. Say it's like, else it's not happening. So someone called me. I said, no, you don't do that. One of our children church teachers. Nicholas Atolani at that time. So I don't know. She was watching from the window as we were having the meeting. After the meeting, she called me and said, you don't do that. You don't ask people to announce what's wrong with them. That next time you can take them somewhere and then. So I learned from that. Amen. All right. And they said, the man is money. So the ability for that man to see, that's discerning of spirit, is a gift of the Spirit that reveals. We also have the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. They might be called word, but they are revelation gifts. Amen. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So we saw 9 gifts. And then we have the gift of the Spirit that are called power gifts. Because they do something. Say they do something. Oh my God. You need to charge with this atmosphere. Say they do something. They are the healing gifts. Oh, this morning, we receive healing. Oh, we receive healing. Healings and healings. Healings and healings. Restoration of bodies. In the name of Jesus. Those have miracle gifts. The gift of miracles, the working of miracles. And have the gift of faith. So he mentions 9 gifts. One of them is the gift of tongues. Where we speak with tongues. Don't forget, we mentioned it earlier. We said, it's called unknown tongue, not because it's not known. It's known to God, not known to the human mind. So it's called unknown. And over in the scriptures endures us to pray in tongues. Don't forget where you're coming from. Convert earnestly the best gifts. Right? Right? Then, 1 Corinthians 12, 11. These gifts work several same spirit, given to every man severally as he what? Huh? You're getting there. Put those two somewhere. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Put them together. Somewhere. We're coming back there. But one of the gifts is the gift of tongues, where we pray by the Spirit. And to speak in tongues is allowing God himself, or better put, the Father on earth, the Spirit of God, to speak through me. And it's such a gift. You know, I could stand here and tell and say, oh Lord God, I'm asking for a 700 horsepower Mercedes. That would be crazy, yeah. 700 horsepower Corvette or something. Say, I'm saying, God, I'm going to use it for your glory, whatever that means. I'm going to drive it for your glory. I'm going to ensure that everybody knows that you are the one that gave me this Mercedes. Father, you just need my prayer. Amen, 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 amen. Can I have an amen, please? Amen. You don't want it for me? Hey, let's say I'm so unlucky that I now pray that in tongues. And God's Spirit says, nah, Father, don't give him that one. He's going to kill him. And while I'm speaking in tongues, I think I'm praying 700 horsepower engine. Father, I'm going to write your glory. And the Holy Ghost is praying through me and saying, he's not going to write it to your glory. He's going to write it unto glory. No, don't give him. What he needs right now is any car. Give him any car. Now, that's the difference between praying in the Spirit and praying in understanding. Because we don't know what to pray as we ought to pray. Romans 8:26. I'm just going to stay there. I don't want to take you some. Let's just stay where we are. Amen. And so, what the Holy Ghost does is to pray God's perfect will for us. But does that take away us praying in our known language? No. And there are times that I've instructed us, I know I've been in service before, and I'm instructed that don't pray in tongues, pray in English. Anyone? Alright, good. And why do I do that? Because we've got to love God with all of our mind. We've got to honor Him with all of our mind. We have to actually know the whole counsel of God with our mind. Amen. And so sometimes you've got to engage your mind and say, you know what? You are going to bow to the Lordship of Jesus. You're going to say that in what you can understand. It's good to bypass the brain. It's good to bypass the mind. But sometimes you get it involved and make it bow to God. Amen. How many of you get what I just said now? All right, good. So it says the gift of tongues. What tongues does to us is to edify us. To build us up. Well, it says he gives severally to every man, severally as he desires. So who desires? Let's ask a question. Let's elaborate this more before we have the Holy Ghost meeting. Who desires? The Holy Ghost, severally as the Holy Ghost wills, or severally as the man desires? Or let's put it better, severally as the one who wants to receive his desires. I'm giving it to you now. Amen. I told you next year we're going to have a lot of on pneumatology and the things of the Spirit. I hope to God that we are able to cover enough grounds. I hope to God. Severally as he desires. Who desires? Now, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, observe with me. Have you observed that out of the 9, only one benefits the user? The gift of tongues. The 8 others go to others. The design of the Spirit is for me to recognize something, maybe for myself or for another, or directly. Only tongues benefits the user. Prophecy is for the church. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 6. A word of wisdom is for another. A word of knowledge is for another. Only tongues directly builds the believer. Jude 20. Building up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That means when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I strengthen my faith. Tongues benefits me. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying in the Spirit always. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. I'll pray in the Spirit, I'll pray in understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit, I'll sing in understanding. but that directly benefits the user himself. Holy tongues. He says, he gives to every man severally as it is, and says, covet earnestly the best gifts. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. Look up. This is probably going to change something. Some years ago, when I was in boarding house, I'm 16. When I was 9, I'll be 17 next week. When I was 9, I went to collect money from my guardian, Mr. Olariwaju. He's a deeper life pastor. Computer science. So I went to collect money. Break time. My pocket money was 5 naira. 5 naira 50 kobo or something like that. And that would buy me meat pie, buy me rice, buy me drink. I'm telling you. And I'll still have change. No, I'll not have change. I think I used to buy rice. One small rice like that. They put a line on. But the nurse does not have his line on. You throw it up like that. And it's always sweet times a line on. There's a way to mix it. Alright. So, when I was collecting money from him, my friend's guardian, Mr. Ogumero, in the science or something, asked me to give my friend money. It was in an envelope. So he put it and he wrote his name, Aluko. So I took the envelope and I went to the store. And I waited for the guy, waited. I didn't see him till light out. I went to bed. The next morning, and of course when you have money like that in your store, you don't put it in your bag, you don't put it in the wardrobe. That would be stupid, amen. You put it in the pillowcase and then you hug the pillow. You don't put pillow on your head. They will steal it. So you hug the pillow. So I put it in the pillowcase. The next morning I gave it to Aluko. Mr. Ngbero asked me to give this to you. He didn't even tell me thank you. He just said, okay. Why did he not tell me thank you? Because I didn't give him the money. The money did not come from me. I only delivered it. Now, of course, that's rude conduct. He should tell me thank you. Right? Because that was a service, right? You don't look at the delivery, the dispatch rider and say, you gave me the ice cream. No. Cold Stone gave you the ice cream. The dispatch rider delivered it. So, the gift is not from the dispatch rider. So, who actually has the gifts of the Spirit? The one who received it. Not the one who missed it. Come. This is November 2024. It's not beyond you. The Holy Ghost in you is delivering the gifts through your body, through your hands. And that's why, listen. You must be careful not to be unidirectional and minister so much that you don't receive yourself. Hence why Paul would teach that, you see, for the gift of the Spirit to be optimal, it's something we have to do among ourselves. He literally wrote the entire 1 Corinthians so that you don't miss out. He says, I know that you come behind with no gifts. And that's the reason why there are adulterers among you. That is the reason why you are taking each other to court. Because you are only dispatching. You are not receiving. Hence, you actually don't have the gift of the Spirit. The gift is for the receiver. Can I speak just a bit? Just a bit. Just build yourself a bit. Like a secret pastor. Amen. So, Paul will write to the church in Corinth, knowing fully well that it is possible that we become so cumbersome, thinking we are the eyes, we are the ears, we are the nose, and just minister the gifts. So, I minister healing, I minister the prophecy, I minister a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. I'm flowing. And he says, it's so possible that a man flows so much that he doesn't receive the gifts himself. The Holy Ghost in us ministers the gifts to the one who receives the gift. Then he tells us as a church, covet earnestly the best gifts. So who will he covet? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who will covet? The one ministering or the one receiving? Huh? The one is easy. Who is coveting the gifts? The one receiving. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Someone who is sick. One is sick of cancer. What is the best gift? A word of wisdom. Huh? Visions. What is the best gift right now for him to covet? Ilan. One needs direction in life and is so confused and all that. Does he need a healing? Maybe. But not now. What he needs right now is solution, right? Through prophecy, through a word of wisdom, that is the best gift. Right? Paul never put one gift over the other. Nah. He left it to you to desire. And so he says, the Holy Ghost will always dispatch through his church the best gift to the one who will receive as much as he desires. So, the role is on me. The onus lies on me in a Christian meeting to fully surrender and say, you know what? God, this is what I actually desire right now. What is the mistake in the believer's meeting, the Holy Ghost meeting? I go there and I have no desire. I just feel someone will get something from God and talk to me. You are joking. Again, they are sitting in the living room and saying, I'm hungry. What are you going to do? You get up. So, how do I effectively be a part of a Holy Ghost meeting in a local church? My desire must be as strong as my heartbeat. I must keep it tight to say, this is what I strongly desire, Lord. A gift of healing, a word of wisdom, working of miracles, the gift of faith that receives to another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs that edify, that comfort, that instruct. What do you desire? Because he gives to every man severally as he desires. So, we must not be myopic. We must not be short-sighted to think that all God wants to do is to use you to bless others. We must also realize very fast that the gifts are also for you. So you see why Paul will emphasize more on the ministry of the gifts in Christian meetings than he will as personal. How do we get it now? You want me to come again? Anyone? Okay. I'll come again. So you will see that there's an emphasis in the scriptures. Play for me as it close. Where Paul will encourage that believers should minister one to another. And that emphasis is greater, far, far greater than when he instructs that we minister it on our own. Why? Because the way the gifts of the Spirit works, and then you see him mentioning, the eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you. The ear cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Because the gifts of the Spirit are meant to walk together through us one to another. That means you'll be a dispatch rider, I'll be a dispatch rider. You'll be a dispatch rider, she'll be a dispatch rider, he'll be a dispatch rider, and together we'll not just all dispatch, we'll all receive. That's how the gifts work. Amen. So, as I am ministering to one, as he desires, he will minister to you as you desire. You get it now? So, if we all have desires, we will all be fed. If we all have desires, we will all receive the gifts of the Spirit. So now concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. This is how it works. It works with your desire. So you, this morning, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, read it earlier. Desire spiritual gifts. In chapter 12 verse 31, it is covet earnestly. He used two words that mean almost the same thing. That two strong opinionated words. He says, covet. Then he said, earnestly. That means it's intense. And I say this without taking my word back. That in every Christian meeting, God always wants to give you. There are gifts. That's why Paul says, when you come together, 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you come together, every one of you has something. But the goal is not just to have something. The goal is to give something. So if every one of us has something, that means every one of us should receive something. You don't get what I just said now. Come. Come. Any. Come. Come. Oh, come. You have something, right? You got something? You got something? This morning? So, 1 John 14:26. Open there now. Know where we came from? We said, directly, of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, how many benefits the user of the gifts? Directly. One, directly. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. If you interpret tongues, it could either result in prophecy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and it's a word of wisdom is for another. It's a word of knowledge is for another. If it's prophecy, it's on the church. Right? It's on the church. If 1 out of 9 benefits you, 8 benefits others, then Paul says in 1 John 14:26, every one of you has something. But we know that of everything we have, 8 benefits others. If every one of us has something to give, when you come together, everyone will have a sound, a tongue, an interpretation, a doctrine, a revelation. Let all things be done to define. If all of us have something, and just a fraction of what we have goes to us, it means what I have is not for me. It's for them. If what I have is for them, what he has, Inko? Huh? Then what she has, that means if all of us have, all of us should receive. So, how will a believer's meeting work in the local church? We all strongly desire not just to give, but to what? To receive. Is it making sense now? And receive. And we ask and receive this morning that the gift of the Holy Ghost flows right among us. That the day of Pentecost, we receive revelations this morning. Pakurite sambo refeti kasus kelebeto ushna balista. Ekuti selebita fakandu satatasa. Our desires this morning are granted. As we covet and we desire strongly, we see the gifts of God and we receive the giving of God. We are excellent dispatchers. We are excellent ministers of the Spirit of God. We are excellent ministers of the Spirit of God. We are excellent ministers of the Spirit of God, of His gifts, to give one to another. And this morning, among us, we have revelation in the name of Jesus. This morning, among us, I'm saying it louder. This morning, among us, we have revelation. This morning, among us, we have insights. This morning, among us, tongues, revelation, interpretation, prophecy, healings, the gifts of faith, the workings of miracles, the sign of spirit. We all live here better than we came in. We all live here more edified, more equipped for the work ahead. Pray in our tongues.